All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of well-known larger investors in the resource space. Now, Jayant is well-known on our show, especially over the last couple months when we've been jumping around jurisdiction to jurisdiction, outlining what Jayant likes, what he dislikes about a wide range of different, more or less well-known resource areas, countries around the world. In this final segment of this show, though, we're going to focus a little bit more on two more development stage companies that recently came out with pre-feasibility studies, one company being Maritime Resources, the other being O3 Mining. Now, one thing that is similar about both of these companies is that their share price has been crushed. I know that we've heard that across the board in the resource sector and a lot of other sectors. However, these stocks, some of which are trading at really historic lows, all-time lows. Jayant, just as a big picture comment here, development stage companies, they really haven't been getting any love from the market. And unfortunately, a lot of the money that they have spent over the last 2-3 years developing and moving these projects forward, really trying to de-risk them, they haven't gotten any sort of valuation in the market. How are you viewing broadly development stage companies right now that are still very capital intensive but aren't getting a return on that capital?
Thanks for having me, Corey. I am probably the biggest non-institutional shareholder of Maritime Resources and O3 Mining. The problem is that these companies have done a relatively good job in bringing out their pre-feasibility studies. They have a timeline within which they can go into production, but their share prices are trading for their historical lows. Maritime is trading at its lowest ever from what I have seen. And they have also cornered themselves very badly, particularly Maritime Resources, because it has run out of cash. I think today it must have a negative current asset value, which means that it is must be desperate to raise cash. Now, when you are in a development stage and you have a negative cash situation in the treasury and you have to go into production and you have to raise about $75 million for CapEx when your market cap is a mere $20 million, you are really very badly cornered. There's no way for you to escape. And that is the situation Maritime Resources finds itself in today.
Well, Jayant, when I look at that, I think back to a couple of years ago with Maritime, when Anaconda and Maritime had proposed merging, and now Anaconda has changed their name to Signal Gold. It seems like in that kind of a situation where they've got a good asset, they've done a good job of, you know, proving out their project and the economics on it in the study at the Hammerdown Gold project, but they probably need to merge with a company, something like Signal Gold or some other company, to be able to bring in the CapEx to build that project. Is that how you see the exit strategy here, is a merger or takeover from a larger producer?
Well, I can see absolutely no way out of Maritime except to do a corporate deal with Signal, or, well, it has to be with Signal Resources. And the reason is, Shad, that the IRR of Maritime Resources' Hammerdown project is about 45 to 50%, which is an extremely good IRR. But when you adjust the discounted cash flow for corporate expenses, your IRR still stays very high. But the problem is that your NPV falls to a value not much higher than its market capitalization, which means that the upside left for the current shareholders is already limited. And if they try to raise money at 5 cents, which they can't actually because the share price is stuck between 4 and 5 cents, if they raise money at 5 cents, the problem with current shareholders will be that the upside left for them will be shared by the people who give them new money. So the kind of situation a company like Maritime finds itself in by not financially foreseeing what would come to them in the future, something that they should have foreseen 6 months back. The problem with that situation is that now they are completely cornered. No one will give them money at 5 cents, because when you can buy shares at 4.5 cents or 4 cents, why should you give money at 5 cents? Stock exchange won't let them raise money easily below 5 cents. And if you raise money at 5 cents, then the upside for the new shareholders and the old shareholders is left very limited. So a situation that they have created by not thinking through the corporate issues is that they have completely cornered themselves.
Yeah, it sounds like the company is very much stuck in an almost impossible position. But again, when you look at that news release, you see an IRR post-tax of 48%. What stuck out to me, though, is that overall, this is a small asset, right? 247,000 ounces of gold production in total over 5 years. Is that also another problem in your eyes, Giant? Quite frankly, this just isn't a big enough asset?
Not necessarily, because remember, this is a thin vein kind of a structure, so you can't really do pre-feasibility study and include the inferred resources. So the life of the mine, from what I understand, should continue to be 10 years for this project. And I must say that the Garrett has done a good job of doing the pre-feasibility study. It has taken him too long to complete it, and he did not warn the market that the report would take too long. But apart from that, I think he has done a good job. The problem here is that he let the share price slide too low and not take care of that share price. And now he is stuck in that that situation where he can't raise money and he is completely stuck. Now, he did do a couple of promotional videos, and I don't think they informed the market very nicely about the project. So unfortunately, that's the situation he is in. I see no way out for this company except to merge with Signal Resources. Now, in the past, Signal was happy to give half a share of Signal for each share of Maritime, which would be worth about 20 cents per Maritime Resource share. But now, given that Maritime is hugely diluted between then and now, I don't see why Signal would pay more than a 50% premium on the current share price of 5 cents. So I don't see how they will, and also because they are cornered, why would anyone pay more than the minimum they can get away with?
Yeah, so there may be an opportunity in the short term if somebody was to get in now at these depressed prices and play for that 50% premium. But other than that, this speaks also to the larger picture we're seeing, Giant, of a lot of development companies going through the work to de-risk projects, sometimes doing a lot of drilling, a lot of metallurgical work, a lot of engineering studies. They produce these economic studies, and they had been selling events for the last year or so, not buying events. And a lot of companies think they're going to get re-rated once they put out these economic studies. But in fact, they haven't. So does that also maybe speak to just the sentiment in the industry and maybe a cautionary tale to not rush into these economic studies for some companies?
Well, I think the value has been created by some companies. I think you mentioned O3 Mining. Now, O3 Mining has, spent a lot of money on the Marban project. And currently, O3 Mining is trading no more than the cash value of the company, which is actually shocking. Because if you deduct from the market capitalization the valuation of Moneta Gold shares that they own, even after taking into account the capital gains tax they may have to pay if they sold the Moneta Gold shares, the cash value of O3 Mining is similar to the market capitalization, which means that the market is giving them zero value for the Alpha project. It's giving zero value for the Marban project, which is now on which they have completed the pre-feasibility study. This means that, and I think again, in this case, in this company's case as well, Jose has done a good job in terms of doing a transaction on Garrison project and converting that project into Moneta Gold shares. He has done a good job of drilling the project, but he has not marketed the company in a way that the work done on the projects, the Alpha project and Marban project, reflects in the share price. And unfortunately, that is not a good sign. The good thing with O3 Mining, however, the reason why I'm even now buying that company is that they have a huge amount of cash. They have about anything between 30 to $35 million cash value currently, leaving apart the Moneta Gold shares, which are worth by themselves about $50 million.
Okay, so the company has cash. That is key in this type of market where everything's getting pressured. But Giant, we've heard from you how much you like O3 Mining and how you like the different assets. How do you want to see the company use that cash in terms of what could create some sort of catalyst to drive the share price up? Because right now, boy, oh boy, investors really have turned on O3 and they have their work cut out for them.
Well, I think Jose of O3 Mining should bring in all his IR people and the corporate development people and sit down and try to understand why the company is trading for cash value. Why is the market not giving any value to Marban project and the Alpha project? And if the market is not going to give them any value for any more drilling and for these projects, he should actually stop spending money on the projects. Now, I am no fan of spending much money on marketing and investor relations, but you have to do at least enough that the market gives you some sensible value for your projects. If the market does not give you sensible project value for your projects, you just has to stop spending money on the projects or redo your investor relations program so that the market comes around to giving you a decent value for your projects.
I think that's a really solid point, Giant, because the job of a CEO is really messaging to the market the value statement of the company, and the job of the marketing department and the IR department is to make sure that the marketplace clearly understands the value that you've built. And so there's no question O3 Mining and other development companies like this have built big value, but most of the drill programs we've seen over the last 2 years and all the money spent has become evaporated in value, not just in the market cap, but in the share price of the company. Or some companies grew their market cap, but their share price still fell. So you'd have to reevaluate, is the marketplace at this time valuing drilling on development companies? Even if you grow the ounces, clearly they're not. So it seems like the industry as a whole kind of needs to look at this and maybe change their strategy, be a little more defensive in this kind of an environment. What do you think about pulling in their horns a little bit?
Well, at the end of the day, it's the shareholders who matter. You have to create what my ex-boss Frank Holmes always says, create value on per share basis. And if you're not creating value on per share basis, you are not doing something right. As a CEO, I fully agree. Your job is to create value. You have to keep moving forward because with a mining project, you can't just stop and shut off everything and lay off people. You have to keep moving forward, but you also have to be financially and business-wise extremely astute while keeping your eyes focused on geology and mining. And you have to be business-wise in the sense that you continue to deliver value to the shareholders, either as dividend, which is, of course, a development company cannot give, but in terms of capital gains creation, a share price appreciation. And if the share price appreciation does not happen, he has to sit back and think about then not spending money on the ground.
So, Giant, before we get you out of here, I just want a broad comment on these markets, especially for resource companies. Look, we're in a bear market, it seems like, across the board in a wide range of sectors. Gold hasn't looked as bad or doesn't look as bad, nearly as bad as silver. But again, all the stocks have been dropping. Do you think a bottom will be in place sometime soon, or are we in for a prolonged bear market? Or just even a sideways market? How are you viewing the future of these markets?
Well, to be very frank, O3 Mining is a company I have been buying this morning. So I don't know how low it will fall. But if I see value, I just invest in a company like that. And if I think the company does not have to raise money anytime soon, I'm happy to keep invested, stay invested in such a company. So I can't predict the future of the mining sector. But again, gold price has done actually reasonably well, even if that's not what a lot of people feel. Gold price has done reasonably well. It is mostly a matter of sentiment, and I can't predict when the sentiment would turn around. But if I see value, I like to invest.
So, Giant, overall, though, are you seeing value, or are you still seeing issues for these companies because of the lack of interest?
Oh, I see value in virtually every company today, even the crappy bad stocks, have fallen too much today. And this is the problem with the bear market. Everything falls, and every good company that I know has fallen too badly. Of course, there are companies I wouldn't invest in because I see no upside left, either because of valuation issue or because of their money raising reasons. If they're desperate for money, I wouldn't really buy those shares. But there is a huge, huge amount of value. And this is truly the time to be courageous and invest and hopefully make 2, 3, 5 times of what you invest in the market.
Hopefully, because boy, oh boy, there's been a lot of companies that have dropped. And hey, we all have seen a lot of red on our screen over these last 2 years. We keep hearing there's a lot of value and stocks are on sale, but many have just gotten cheaper. Giant, thank you very much for your time. Very interesting diving into some of these pre-feasibility studies, and it just goes to show that these development companies are continuing to struggle. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. As always, please keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing what all of you are thinking about these markets and some of the stocks that are catching your eye. We'll be back with you next week. So everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.